Following God in 2014, you can kind of tell from the title of today's message that I'm continuing on with some messages during the month of January that relate to the theme of the new year. And I realize we need to get back on track with about three messages to finish this other series, but I don't know, I just try to follow the leadership of the Lord. And I think the beginning of a new year is a very important time for us, even though we get very, very busy. And I don't know how it feels to you. This is the 12th of January, but it almost sort of feels like New Year's was about a month ago. I don't know if anybody else feels that way or not, but we really are still pretty early in the year. After all, you can't even file your taxes yet. I was looking for an amen on that. So we really are pretty early in this year, and as God has given thoughts, now next Sunday, we'll take a little break from this because next Sunday is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, but the last Sunday of the month, Lord willing, the 26th, I want to end these messages, as I understand it at this point, that the Lord has given along this line as we contemplate a new year and contemplate how God is working in our hearts and leading us. This is a really, I think, fascinating text of Scripture that was read earlier for you by Brother Donnelly. And the Lord, I think, has some things here for us as we consider the subject of following God. Because if we are following, what's He doing? He's leading. If we're following, He's leading. He's leading anyway, whether we follow or not. But that's kind of the idea that's involved here. And did you notice in the hymns that we're singing this morning, particularly as we got to Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, prayer for God's guidance, prayer for God's leadership. Did you notice in the second stanza, let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through? That's exactly what we read about in the Scripture this morning. So in my message, along the general lines of following God in 2014, I just have four straightforward observations that I want to share. There's no rocket science. It's not complicated. But I really believe if we open our hearts to it, there's some real challenges for us to consider. So four observations, straightforward observations about following God in 2014. And I suppose, as you might suspect, they really carry over. It's not just this year, but we're just thinking of it particularly as we launch forth into a new year. First of all, following God is important. No rocket science, right? You say, Pastor, they've been teaching that since cradle roll. Following God is important. Well, it is, but I'm just wondering this morning if I could ask you to consider a simple thing that you've known for ages in the light of this text. Because think about the children of Israel. Where were they? In the wilderness. If they were in the wilderness, and as we understand their particular set of circumstances, they had been 400 plus years in the land of Egypt. They didn't have Google Maps. They're in the wilderness. They don't know the way. They don't know their surroundings. I would say that you could get yourself into a lot of trouble pretty quickly, even just from a geographical perspective, if you weren't following God in the wilderness. I was humored a bit because it sounds like other stories like this, but it doesn't quite go the same way. But there was a couple and they were in Rugby, England, and they were trying to get to the station, and all of a sudden they realized, you know, we're lost. And so stumbling around just a bit, finally encountered a 12-year-old lad and decided they would ask him because he seemed like maybe he might be familiar with the surroundings. And so they asked him and he said, well, I'll tell you what, you're looking for the station. He said, you need to go right up here to the grocery store. See that? Go right up to the grocery store and make a right. And then he said, you make your second left. That's going to bring you out to a place where four streets meet. He said, when you get to the place where four streets meet, then, sir, you better stop and ask someone else. Well, we've kind of been there, right? I mean, it's a desperate, terrible feeling when you feel like you're lost, even if you're not. You know, I've gone hunting places before and had them tell me, you can't get lost here. And I've said, you don't know me. You know, especially it gets dark. It doesn't look the same, right? And all of a sudden you get turned around two or three times and you really aren't lost, but you feel that way because you're not quite sure what to do next or where to go next. And it's just not a good feeling. So then we haven't really even stopped to think about the fact. I mean, just because they were unfamiliar is enough to make the point, I think. But what else was out there? Danger. Peril. possibility of all kind of mishaps if you go the wrong way. And on top of that, and we're going to talk about this actually on the final message, the last Sunday of the month, enemies. Those who might oppose. So following God is really, really, really important. And doesn't take too much, really, for us to make the jump to seeing where we are when we think about things spiritually. I mean, we're headed into a new year. And in a way, it's like the wilderness because we haven't been there before. True? I mean, we know certain things that usually happen. I mentioned one already, taxes. And we know certain things we expect to happen because we plan and we accept dates and make dates. And some of those things are set for us already. And elections happen and all those kinds of things. We know certain things, but we really don't know what tomorrow brings. It's really true, you know. It really is true. It sounds self-evident, but it's really true. And every so often we get reminded of that, especially I think as we've gone through this season, and this is maybe just a mild illustration, but you think about the number of people who have just gotten totally turned upside down with these winter situations and delays. I think it was in State College the first day, the Monday evening, when my wife had taken James and Brittany over to State College. And, you know, they were there for 2.5 hours, as I remarked the other day, and only to find finally that the flight was going to be canceled. But there was a woman there who was going to Amsterdam. And I understand what that is, because for what's now Delta Airlines, used to have Northwest. But that's kind of a hopping off point. You go to Detroit, you take that feeder flight from State College, and there are other feeder flights too, go into Detroit. That's a hub. And from there, you jump off to Amsterdam. Well, they couldn't get her on another flight to Amsterdam because there weren't any seats on another flight to Amsterdam. So they said, well, we can get you on one to go to Paris. Well, I'd love to go to Paris, but if you're planning to go to Amsterdam, and who knows what her business was there, it's really not very cool. Paris is a ways. Then they said, well, we can get you on the train to get you from Paris to Amsterdam. Great. And here you are, and think of these people that 3-4 days really before they could get a flight or even more. Made me think back to when we were stranded, so to speak, in Germany when 2001 happened, and there we were. And I mean, it was like 2 weeks. And my wife was thinking about this, and I thought about it a little bit more. And, you know, what in the world would it be had we not been with the Beaches? I mean, can you even begin to think of the expenses, the hardships in trying to be somewhere 2 weeks that you had no plan whatever? I'm simply trying to say it doesn't take much. Wow, everything changed that day. I mean, here we were over there, and we came back from doing some projects and finishing them up over there at the church, and Mrs. Beach comes running out. America has been attacked. We thought it was a joke. And it didn't take long to figure out from her expression and so forth that it wasn't a joke, and we went inside and started watching the news, and we saw one of the buildings fall and all of that. It didn't take very long to change a lot of things very quickly, and no one really knew that was going to happen. I mean, you know, understand. Life is uncertain. Life is fragile, and we really don't know, but God does. That's why, folks, and I'm going to say something to you that I've said so many, many times before. It's simple, it's self-evident, but it's amazing sometimes we just need the reminder of it. So that means that the only security that there really is in following God. Because you're out there in the wilderness. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't necessarily know the way that takes you around the pitfalls and the dangers. But God does. And so following God is important. Let's look at another point. Following God does not have to be complicated. Following God does not have to be complicated. What am I trying to say there? Well, I'd like to come at this two ways, because there's kind of two sides to the point that I'm making now. The first is I want to say this, that, you know, I really truly believe that a lot of Christians have the impression that finding and following God is some almost impossible task to accomplish, that it's just very difficult to figure out what God's will is and what God wants us to do. And I don't really think that that's true, although on the one side of the coin, I do want to admit this. It is certainly very true that there are times when God wants to use the pursuit of His will, our need to determine God's will. He does want to use that in order to provoke or lead us into some serious seeking. May I put it that way? There are a number of verses that you can use to make this point. Good verses in the Bible, but one of my favorites is Jeremiah 29:13, where it talks about the fact that God is actually the speaker in the verse. And He says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And so it is true that sometimes God will use a proposition. God will use a situation that comes up in our lives where we're seeking God to show us what He has for us. And sometimes it's very easy. I mean, sometimes it's almost as if God sends a telegram, but sometimes it's not that way. And sometimes you have the answer right away. You just have a distinct and definite knowledge of exactly what God is leading you to do. And other times it's a decision and you sweat over it and pray over it. Doesn't mean that God hasn't made every and adequate position, a provision for us to know and find His will. Just means that sometimes God wants to use that as an occasion to lead us deeper, to cause us to grow, and to teach us lessons. That's all. That's all that really means. Doesn't mean He's trying to play hard to get. Doesn't mean He's hiding behind the corner. Just means He wants us to press up a little bit closer to Him and grow. He's going to show us what He wants us to do if we do that. I brought along the precise wording because I thought it was that good. But the British pastor, Frank Borum, I've mentioned before, I have, I'm not sure of the other things that perhaps he's done, but he has a 5-volume set, easy reading, on favorite texts of great saints, if I can use that way of expressing it, down through the years. Marvelous. It's just fantastic reading. But anyway, he was pastoring in New Zealand at the time this particular story took place. And there he was, and a minister was coming to visit. And so they were staying there. The minister was staying there. And one day they got out there on the veranda and they were just having some leisure time. I don't know, maybe they had coffee or something else, but they just had some leisure time on the veranda. They were taking advantage of looking out at the spectacular view when all of a sudden Borum posed this question to his friend, the visiting minister. Here's the question. Can a man be sure that in the hour of perplexity, he will be rightly led by God? Can he feel secure? Come back to that word security. Can he feel secure against making a false step? The minister didn't even delay. He looked at him and he said, "I'm absolutely certain of it. If you will give God time." And then, as if to make his point, the second time he said to Borum, "Never forget that. Always give God time." It is that way sometimes, right? You're praying and seeking and praying and seeking, and it's not one of those situations where the answer just comes immediately. Always give God time. When in doubt, wait. Don't just get restless. It's very easy for us to get restless. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But if God is saying, "Well, for some reason, I'm not ready to show you this yet, or I haven't made it clear," keep pursuing. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Do you notice that the steps there are increasingly aggressive? Ask, seek, knock. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. He promises eventually it shall be opened unto you, right? And that's in the context of prayer. So it is true that sometimes it works that way. However, I want to make the point to you that obviously in our text here, God had made every provision. I mean, every provision for them to find and follow Him. In other words, you really couldn't miss it. Why do I say that? Well, let's just have a look here, because when we check down here in our text, on the opening part of it, what do we read? On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, verse number 15, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and it even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. You couldn't miss it, right? You just couldn't miss it. Then it says in verse 16, so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Now, what is significant about the pillar and what is significant about the cloudy, the cloud and the fiery pillar? They were symbols of what? God's presence. When they looked at the tabernacle and they saw the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, they knew that God was with them. They were symbols that you could see. Might not be able to touch, but you could see. Tangible in that sense. Symbols of God's presence with them. And then I find this really spectacular. Verse 16, the first several words. So it was always. Is there ever a time when God is not with us? No, because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the Great Commission, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the consummation of the age. It almost sounds like that. So it was always. God's presence is always with us. Now, for them, they had the cloudy pillar, or the cloud and the pillar of fire. But for you and me, you say, well, we don't have that. But the things that God has given to us, what I want to say to you right now, are no less certain and no less real, maybe even more certain and more real. First of all, I would just have you quickly notice that God makes tons and tons of promises concerning this in his word. Maybe what you need to do, maybe what I need to do, is fasten on to one of those that really seems to speak to you and start claiming it. What about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? If you want to write some references down, I'm going to give you three of these. Some of these maybe you know as memory verses. What are Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? What do they say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He shall direct thy paths. Okay, what about the verse in the bulletin today? You can either look at the bulletin or you can keep a finger there or you can just listen. But that verse is Psalm 32:8. I'll just do it this way. I need another one in the Psalms in a moment. But what do you think about this one? I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's a pretty good promise, don't you think? Maybe you like that one. Write that reference down. But also in Psalms, Psalm 73 and verse 24. I like this one. I like it because it reiterates a point that's a little different, where it says in 24 of Psalm 73, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. So when and for how long will God guide you in this life? Just on Mondays and Tuesdays? No, it says here, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. The whole journey. Because God's presence is always with us. And if God doesn't give us a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, what does he give us? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because not only do we have these promises that God is going to do this, but we have the provision that he's going to do this. Let me just name you four things really quickly. His word. You know, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a what unto my feet? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We want God to lead us. How are you doing with your Bible reading? Did you start? Or did you just kind of say, I can't do that? No, you can do something. Have you missed already? Have you had some problems already? Some things came up? That's exactly what's going to happen anyway. I'm just telling you that right now. You're going to decide to do it. You're going to write that commitment down. The Lord's and the devil's going to throw you some kind of a curveball. Well, you just have to, don't worry about it. Just get right back up and start back in. If you can't make up what you missed, just keep right on trucking with where you are. That's the only way you're going to successfully persevere with something like this, because there are going to be curveballs. There are going to be bad times. There are going to be tests. But this is a prime way in which God leads his people, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What about prayer? Is there anybody in here who can't pray? No, I got you there, don't I? Is there anybody in here that doesn't have a Bible? Is there anybody in here who can't pray? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We can all pray. Is there anybody here this morning who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in his heart? Well, you'll need to answer that one maybe privately, because if you can't answer that yes, then that means that you haven't been saved yet. So we need to get that taken care of. But Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you turn it around to say the truth that that statement is based on, all of us who are the children of God have the Spirit of God in our hearts to lead us. That's something they didn't have in the wilderness. Did you know that? I mean, as best as we can understand, they didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in their hearts like people in this New Testament dispensation do. Do you think what a struggle sometimes it must have been for Abraham and these people? You know, God came at various times and sundry times and in diverse manners, Hebrews says. Sometimes of dreams. Abraham, I mean, he went years sometimes, to the best of our knowledge, without having one of these special insights given to him by God. Here you and I are griping about things. We've got a Bible. We've got prayer. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, who is a key instrument in leading us, giving us peace, withholding peace, opening doors, closing doors. All these things are accomplished. And you know what? We also have other Christians. If you go to the book of Proverbs in chapter 11 and verse 14, it says, in the multitude of the counselors, there is safety. And then if you go over to chapter 24, it repeats that. It's one of those Proverbs I mentioned on Wednesday evening where God tells us this two or three times. It must be this is something he really wants us to catch on to. There are folks you can go to who have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge of God's word, and you can sometimes take a very perplexing and difficult situation to them, and they can be of help to you in that respect. So what do we have? We have all these mechanisms whereby the Lord has made it possible for us. It's no less certain. It's no less sure. It's no less real. Here's something else to listen to. The Westminster Confession makes a very interesting statement. It says this. Now just listen, this isn't long and it's not really complicated. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. You know what that statement is really teaching us? It's teaching us a doctrine that we find in the Bible, and that is the sufficiency of Scripture. God has given us all we need. So sometimes maybe he wants you to search a little bit more. Maybe this year he wants you to read his word a little bit more. Yeah, that's going to happen. But we cannot doubt, folks, it doesn't have to be complicated. We have sure and definite and dependable ways that God has given us ultimately to arrive at the conclusion of what his will is. So here's where we are. Following God is important. Following God does not have to be complicated. Here's your third observation. Following God means observing God's wisdom, not ours. We have decisions to make, right? And God has given us a mind. I'm not saying you check your brain at the door. But there is a difference between human wisdom and God's wisdom. Do we understand that? How we think is not always the way God thinks. In fact, when the fallen man kind of kicks into gear and we start reflecting on a situation, a lot of times our thinking is very aberrant and it's not dependable and it's unwise sometimes, which is sometimes why it's good to go to other people and say, what do you think about this? Here's how I'm thinking. Sometimes somebody who's really objective and loves you can tell you, well, I don't think you're looking at that quite straight. Our thinking is just not dependable, which is why we need the Word of God constantly to come in there and help us with this. But look at our text here, because this is kind of interesting. What do we see as the verses progress? I got to get back to Numbers myself. But if you're there in Numbers chapter 9, look first at verse 18. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. So think about a progression of three things. Sometimes they journeyed, sometimes they didn't. We're talking now about following God as a matter of observing God's wisdom, not ours. Sometimes they journeyed, sometimes they didn't. Well, who's making those decisions? Verse number 19. Have a look at that. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Sometimes they journeyed, sometimes they rest. Sometimes it was for a few days, sometimes it was for a longer period. Who's making those decisions? How would you know? Look at verse 21. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. And when it was by day, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Well, look at the three things that we've just seen again. Sometimes they journeyed, sometimes they rest. Sometimes it was for a brief period, sometimes it was for a longer period. Sometimes it was by day, sometimes it was by night. Well, who's figuring all that out? Who figures out whether it's supposed to rain tomorrow? I'm glad I'm looking to someone who's got better sense than I do. I mean, we have a very limited perspective, and I think the Lord understands that. I mean, we have a cookout or something like that planned. Oh, we pray, right? And fasting and prayer and on our knees. Oh, spare us from the rain. But if you think back to the chicken barbecues that we have in the middle of the summer, how many of those things have we been kind of antsy about? Is it going to rain? About half. At least, I think. How many times, I asked Mr. Kidd this one, how many times you have field day or whatever it is we have over there at Detweiler, you have that plan, does it rain or at least are you scared it's going to rain? How many? About half? Maybe more? Well, obviously, if Mr. Kidd's making the decision, it's not going to rain. If I'm making the decision about the cookout, it's not going to rain. But how? What if there's something out there that I don't know? That's bigger and more important in the mind of God than our cookout. And besides, God says, I give you that gym over there now. What more do you want? I know what Tom McCracken's answer is. I want a place to cook under. We're working on it. We like to eat. But really, folks, I mean, maybe this is a confession, but I figure that you're human too, so maybe you can understand if I tell you this. I would think that sometimes you'd be scratching your head. Think about this for a minute. What if you got up one morning and the cloud said go? And then you got somewhere at 5 o'clock and the cloud says stop. Yep, the next morning cloud says go. Next day you get up, 5 o'clock comes, cloud says stop. Get up the next day, you'd say, wow, this is kind of how I'd do if I was driving my car, right? I mean, you'd undertake a day's journey. But what happened if you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning? I know some of you do. What happens if you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning and the cloud lifts and you journey 3 hours, noontime, it's park, time to park, nothing for 3 days. Huh? What happens if you're just asleep at night? And they blow one of those horns off and say, fire's going up, time to go, midnight, we're leaving. You say, man, I know the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps, but this is ridiculous. What happens if he does that 2 or 3 days in a row? And you're thinking to yourself, there's something about this. But, you know, God has a plan, and folks, the thing of it is, there's no security except in God's wisdom. If you make the decisions and I make the decisions, they're going to maybe seem logical and correct to us, but God knows what he's doing and we have to trust in this. I'll tell you a little story about James Gray. James Gray, the one-time president of Moody Bible Institute, he was in a circumstance where he was convalescing, getting better, hopefully, from some kind of a seemingly protracted illness. And some folks in this church can identify with that. And so he's gone through this recuperative period. He's just starting to get maybe some better. And people close to him suggest maybe a change of pace would be good, maybe getting out a little bit. So they suggested traveling maybe some to the British provinces. And he had the steamer ticket purchased and bought and was ready to do all this when he took ill again. and he couldn't go. And here he was laid up in this sick room, and he began to scratch his head and began to think to himself, what is going on? I'm just getting better. I just have this ticket, getting ready to go. Whichever one was first on the steamer's destination. Didn't understand it, just like you and I sometimes don't understand it. Why do I have to have another wait? And a few days later, he at least got a partial answer, because when the steamer arrived at its first destination, it struck a reef and sunk immediately. I'm just telling you, folks, God knows what's out there. Why was your flight canceled? I don't know. All I see is the problems. And they're there. But God's got a plan that's bigger. He got some reason, something he's trying to accomplish. It might be the obvious thing, but here's the point that maybe is hard to tell you, because I don't like it either. He doesn't always tell us why. Sometimes, like James Gray, you get a little insight. Maybe you don't get it right away, but you get a little insight later. I see now why God did this. Sometimes it's a long time before you get that. Some of it's going to wait till heaven. You know that? Sometimes it's going to be to heaven to really understand what appeared to us to be that winding maze that I think it's John Peterson talks about in the song, Jesus Led Me All the Way. All those winding, dark pathways through that maze. It seemed like a maze to us. You're going to get to heaven and look on the thing, and it wasn't a maze, brother. It was the straight path, right where God wanted you to go. I could imagine it would be pretty easy to get restless. If what happened if you have to stay for 6 months? Well, I can't even do 6 minutes on some things. I'm serious. I you know, don't look so pious. I'm going to call your house tomorrow, okay? Or I'm going to call you at work, better yet. And I'm going to say, excuse me for a moment. I need to put you on hold. And I'm going to put you on hold for 6 minutes. How do you like that? You'd probably just hang up. It's the preacher. Who cares? People do that. Sometimes they have to do that. But that's frustrating. I mean, I've already listened to your commercial 17,567 times while I'm waiting on you to get back on this phone. That frustrates me. So sometimes what I do is I just, if I think it can go that way, I have something at hand to occupy myself. Did you ever notice you've been on hold so long with some people, they come back on the phone, who are you waiting for? They don't even know. Folks, waiting's not easy sometimes, but sometimes this is what God wants, and we have to submit to His prevailing wisdom in the thing. See, it's following God means observing His wisdom and not ours. And here's the last thought. Following God is always forward. All right, now, this is a very simple point. When they left Egypt, they had a destination. There was an end game. Is that right? Hello, everybody? It was an end game. They weren't just going out there to walk in circles. They had a little problem, got stuck in the wilderness 40 years, but there was always an end game. There was always a place from the very beginning of this trip that they were destined to go. Where was it? Canaan. Following God is always forward. Do you realize that even when we read the list of their wanderings in the wilderness, none of it ever involved going backwards? They journeyed to different places, but never was there anything about a return to Egypt. Right? Never anything about a return to Egypt. Even though sin had entered in because of the spies and all of that, and even though they were condemned to spend that 40 years in the wilderness, there was always a goal. And whatever those detours and so forth were as a result of that still furthered the goal. It was always going forward in some way. Always going forward in some way. You think about the Apostle Paul, because I'm just holding up for you examples that I know you won't argue with. Was that the way his life was? Whew. Wears me out thinking about it. Paul has always got a goal. He's always got somewhere he's going. He tells us this generally in Philippians chapter 13 when he says, or Philippians 3:13, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about the three action words. Forgetting. And look, the baggage of yesterday isn't worth continuing to haul into tomorrow. Just going to slow you down. Some things you have to forget. The bad things you have to forget, but you can't also be slowed down by the good things. Tomorrow is tomorrow. Forward is forward. Reaching forth. That begins to make the point that what God has for me is this way, not back this way. And press. Press on. Tells me that it's a lifelong commitment. It's something that I have to keep on pursuing because it's always forward. There's always something God wants me to do. After all, Paul was so this way that when he wrote to the Roman church, I mean, it was enough trouble just getting to Rome. But when he wrote them and hadn't even gotten there yet, he said, whensoever I make my journey into Spain. In chapter 15, he says that. Always forward, always a new idea, always a new plan. Of course, submitted to the will of God, but always forward, always forward, always forward. And somebody here this morning is saying, Pastor, you can forget that. Because right now I'm so beat up from 2013 that I just am numb. And I'm not really in the mood to hear much talk about forward, forward, mush, mush. Well, that's not my spirit. That's not even why I brought this up. I brought this up because I think I understand a little bit of what you're thinking. Because I think we all go there from time to time. And sometimes we bring some of it on ourselves because we overextend ourselves and we try to do more than we really should do. And it really wouldn't be unspiritual to say no to certain things. But I want to reach out to you this morning. And if you take offense, you just have totally missed the point. And you certainly have missed my spirit. But I do want to reach out to you with some good and kind counsel that I have certainly understood from the Bible and I have observed and learned over the years. And it's just that when you come to those resting places, you have to remember that following God is always forward. Some of you have determined that it is the thing for you to do to pull back in certain ways. You can look at attendance at our services and see that. I'm not condemning and judging. I'm just telling you facts. Some people have determined that spiritual occupations, jobs that they've done in the past, they're not wanting to do now. I want to talk to you about that for a minute. It's not always wrong. Anybody that doesn't understand that is just a fool. Sometimes you get to the place where you're just, like I said the other Sunday, you're just whacked out. Or you have things arise in your life, and sometimes you share that with people, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's good, though, if you're going to do something out of character, to share it with somebody so that you're not misinterpreted in what you're doing. That's really important. You know that? Really important. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But what I want to say to you is this. When you feel that this is the right thing to do, when because of life circumstances you can't take something else on, or you can't even take on something that you used to do because you're just numb and you need time to fall back and regroup, I think we all understand that happens sometimes. But you have to be careful, because just as certainly as you may need that and as certainly as that may be the right decision, you can also just as certainly be exposed to a very subtle trap. And it comes from just the way our human nature is, because it comes from getting beat up. And it comes from just getting numb to the point that you just feel like you've got to chuck most of what you're doing if you're going to even keep from losing it. So you do that. But in the course of doing that, it becomes awfully easy to forget about those things and stay right there because That's what you need now, but it's not necessarily what you need if you keep in mind in the future that the following God is always forward. And if you lay aside your holy habits, I mean, have you ever had a day, something just as simple as this, have you ever had a day and it came up and you just said, I just can't do 30 minutes of Bible reading today? Once in a rare while, that happens to me. If that happens to me, I do 5 minutes worth of Bible reading. Got to have something. All right? But it's awfully easy, see? You excused yourself from reading the Bible yesterday. You'll have plenty of reasons to excuse yourself from reading the Bible tomorrow. Because the devil will be certain that you have just as many reasons and just as many distractions. Right? What you got to watch is that when you see that you're coming out on the opposite side of this, when you see you're getting back in whack when you were out of whack, you've got to always remember that God is always leading forward. It's always about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's always about serving to the best and most that we can. It's always about doing things that we know God has equipped us and called us to do and that we can do, and even considering and praying about things that we haven't done in the past, but maybe we could do. And it'll have to sort of be sometimes between you and the Lord to figure out what those rest stops are. But think about it just as simply as this, okay, and I'll leave this. To think about it just as simply as this. When you're on I-81 or any of them and you say, you know, I got to stop. I mean, I really need to stop. So you pull at the rest stop. You needed the restroom. You needed the coffee. Maybe you stop in there and get a 15-minute nap or an hour's nap. But when you get all done with the bathroom and get coffeed up and even get your little nap, if you feel like you got, how many people just keep staying in the rest stop? Because you were on I-81 to go somewhere, right? You're headed to Harrisburg or you're headed somewhere. You're not going to stay in the rest stop. But I'm going to tell you something. At a critical juncture in my life, the Lord overwhelmingly showed me something to do to protect myself from that. And I've always remembered that. You see, when I finished up what I was doing in terms of schooling, I just wasn't quite ready to go do what I knew God wanted me to do. But I knew what God wanted me to do. So I said, well, certain goals can possibly be accomplished by working for a while. And so I decided that I would do that and felt that I had peace in my heart to do that. But the Lord put a great burden on my heart and I set a limit. 2 years. I'm not doing this for any more than 2 years. If the things that I'm burdened about and the things that don't seem to make me ready yet for where I want to go and what I feel I know that God has called me to do have not resolved, I'll just figure God has another plan. But I'm not doing this for any longer than 2 years. You know why the Lord gave me that? I'm not trying to sound smart. The Lord gave me that because I've seen a lot of my friends. I mean, I'd seen them for different reasons. You know, they weren't satisfied with the offers they got, or this was this, or whatever. I mean, you know, everybody has reasons. So I just decided, well, we'll hunker down here for a while. First thing you know, they got a job. It pays 3 times what the Christian school position did. I knew so many of those people that never made it out of Greenville. But when I knew them and when we were friends, they were dead set that this was what God had them to do. Once in a while, we're wrong about that. So maybe there was some exceptions. But for the most part, folks, I think the point, you get it, right? I didn't want to stay in Greenville, not because it's not a great place to live, but because it wasn't what God had for me. And I knew from watching other people, it could be a trap. Plenty of nice churches. I mean, if you can't find one there, you can't find one. Jobs, all kinds of things. Just all kinds of things. But if that's not what God has for you, then somehow you got to break out of that thing. You got to get out of the rest stop and get back on I-81. Wherever it is God wants you to be going in life, it's important always to remember that God is always leading us forward. Someone once said that success is finding the will of God and doing it. That would be a wonderful way to end this message. That would be a wonderful way to take what we've talked about. So, you know, that's following God in 2014. I want to be successful. Is finding the will of God and doing it. Father, thank you for giving us these moments this morning to reflect, to think, to pray, to listen, to find something from this morning's message that might be helpful to us. That's your business. You know your people. You know what they need. You know how they should hear and interpret what they've heard from me. Probably things that go in directions that I could have never imagined. That's the great joy of just putting God's word out there and praying that the Spirit of God will minister to each person according to each person's need. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I'm not going to prolong this. I just think maybe it would be good for you to answer this question, and I'll ask you to answer it by your uplifted hand. But that's all we're doing. This is not about embarrassing anybody. I'm not going to do some fancy thing and trick you. I just want you to think about it and then answer it. How many people here this morning say, Pastor, I am concerned and serious about following God in 2014? Wait a minute. It's just that simple. Think about it for a minute. I'm concerned and serious about finding and following God in 2014 because it's important. There's no security anywhere else. Because it really isn't complicated if you determine. Because it's about God's wisdom, and sometimes I have to turn aside from my own and trust Him if He doesn't tell me why something doesn't make sense. And always realizing that it'll involve growth, moving forward. At one point or another, that's the game plan. Just put your hand up if that's your burden this morning. I'm concerned about finding and following God in 2014. Okay, put them down. Not everyone put his hand up. So what I would say is just think about this. Why didn't you put your hand up? If you didn't or couldn't put your hand up, then go think about some different things. Think about whose you are and to whom you belong. And think about taking the reins of your life and whether or not God can do a better job calling the shots, the turns. Going to trot? Going to walk? Going to turn left? Going to turn right? Just think about it. Father, thank you for the wonderful folk that gathered here in church this morning. Thank you for the kind attention to the message. And Lord, we don't judge because we don't know what's all in people's hearts. But there are a lot of people here serious about this. Please help us, Lord. We know we're going to encounter some things that seem to us to be like a maze. It doesn't make sense. And we'll question it. In our weakness, we'll question it. Help us, Lord, to trust you and get right back on track. If there are folks here this morning that are just all numb, or if we have others that aren't here this morning, but that's still true for them, oh Lord, please restore us. You tell us in your word, He restoreth my soul. So do that. But in the process of your doing that, help us to know when you've done that and when it's time to leave the rest area. Knowing that your way is always forward. And Lord, for somebody that for whatever reason couldn't raise his hand this morning, just help and bless in that life. Give some thinking maybe later today on down the road. Maybe it's just that we never have surrendered to you. It could be a lot of things. But please bless us. Please bring us to closer to yourself. Please keep us in that place of safety. And meet our needs, Lord. Help us with even this past week where things have happened that we don't understand. And now we have to deal with the fallout. Help us to know how you will bless us and how you will lead us. We pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.